Hello and welcome to the series finale of Blossom here on Blossom Buddies. Hello.
This is the Blossom Buddies podcast, the podcast where we talk about the show Blossom.
And this is the penultimate episode. And Craig loves it when I say the word penultimate.
Yeah. I think Jason loves it when Jason says
that. I like to use the word penultimate because it's a high quality $10 word, I think.
It is. I first heard that word in a Monty Python sketch, and they're British, so
they're fucking British, so you know that it's a $12. Hey, wait a second. £12. That's another voice.
Oh, who is that?
That's my wife Madison is here on the show. For the finale.
That's good because it balances out with my wife being here.
Oh my gosh.
Say hi, Pam.
Hi, Pam.
That's excellent. See, you get the you can tell highest she does quality comedy. So if we step all over each other's feet like me and Craig are doing right now, that's why four people on a podcast is like the upper limit of podcast guests. But we're just going to let these two talk to each other. We're going to bow out for this.
Yeah. Steam cleaning. Go.
Yeah. Right before the show, we were talking about steam cleaning. So we probably
a sexist joke, by the way. Yeah.
No, we probably will leave that out of the final product because this is a serious.
This is a serious Blossom documentary
show.
It's a docu-series. A docu-cast. I coined a new term. It's a docu-cast. All right,
everything on NPR?
Yeah, I guess so. But they don't call it docu-cast. They owe me $1.
Yeah, it's true.
Season 5, episode 22, titled aptly, Goodbye.
Goodbye. I felt while watching this mostly that it was, when they were talking, most of the dialogue was right to the audience,
yeah.
You know, and not just not like this was just a long series of scenes of people coming to terms with leaving a television.
Yeah, there's no story. Zero story.
That, this is going to be very easy to get through from a podcasting standpoint because there's basically just the plot, and the plot is very minimal. It can be said in a couple sentences. So we're just going to basically, I guess, talk about what we saw and do our best with it because once again, Blossom hit us with some bullshit.
Yeah, there was a lot of bullshit going on here. We did call it last week that she would end up doing more vlogs in the finale. So yeah, the episode starts out with her doing her video diary, and she's all like, "I'm 18 and I'm doing a video diary, and I've been doing a video diary all this time for the last 5 years." And then we get a flashback to her first video diary. And my note for that is the show was clearly better back then.
Yeah, I have two notes.
Okay.
No, you go.
No, that's all my my note is that the show was better back then.
She's wearing a great blazer that has amazing sequins on the lapel. So that really stood out to me. And I feel like I need a blazer exactly like that. And then my other note from that flashback to her first video is that my current haircut is exactly the same as Blossom in that first video. So
are you also doing a video diary?
Someday this will be on the internet someday. I don't know when I'll get to uploading literally 60 episodes. But this is kind of a video diary.
Yeah, I'm keeping all these video files until my hard drive gets too full.
Yeah, same. And I'm going to put them on another external hard drive.
An external hard drive called YouTube.
Yeah, digital pack rat. It's a real thing. Also, we forgot to mention this episode was directed by Ted Wass, so it's good to see Ted Wass going out on top. It did feel like a Ted Wass episode.
And it was then also written by Judith D. Allison, who this is the 19th episode of Blossom she's done. I was looking into her. She did like this, John Larroquette, and Pearl. And that's like it. She did like one-off episodes of a bunch of stuff in the 80s.
But that's like how many seasons of TV is that? Because John Larroquette show was on for...
But it was 19 episodes of Blossom, 19 episodes of John Larroquette show, and 7 episodes of Pearl. So, I mean, that's good. That's good for a writer. That's steady work for, I don't know, like 20-ish years. No, not really, because Blossom started in 93 and Pearl ended in 97. So, I mean, yeah, 97 was the last time she worked.
Those are actual writer credits, though. She could have been in writer's rooms.
That's true. She was probably in writer's rooms for all the episodes. She just didn't get the credit. You're absolutely right.
I'm always right, Craig.
You're always right. she compares herself to Holden Caulfield. I noticed when I thought that was ballsy. That's very ballsy. That's like Judith D'Alison or Don Rio comparing Blossom to Catcher in the Rye, as if like they're neck and neck.
Also, Holden Caulfield was a dick, so I don't know.
That's true, but Blossom's also a dick.
Kind of a dick too. In this episode, especially.
I don't know, maybe not especially. It's par for the course.
Fair enough.
Typical Blossom dickishness in this episode.
She constantly lies. She constantly manipulates those around her. It's a problem, and
she's extremely selfish. Yeah.
Yes.
She only cares about herself. It's like she especially doesn't care about her "quote unquote" best friend.
No, she never did.
Anyway, the next scene.
Sad.
We had some horrifying revelations from watching Blossom, and it's that Blossom the character is an awful character.
Pam, do you have any notes on that scene? You were like, my wife was like, I should take notes too, right? I'm gonna take notes, and then didn't take a damn note.
I'm like, I'm gonna remember it all, like I'm just gonna like see what like Craig wrote, and then like I can just remember. No, it doesn't work.
Yeah, you can steal my notes.
Yeah, well,
what, look at Craig's notes and tell us what happens next.
Next there's a Courtney love joke.
And I wrote down,
what was it?
Blossom's all like, because Kennedy is using Blossom as like a role model or whatever. And Blossom's like she could probably find someone a little better put together. Nick's like who? And then she says Courtney Love, because Blossom, the joke is that Blossom is not well put together and neither is Courtney Love.
Right. She was,
this was like when this came out, this was a year after her husband, who was on top of the world, blew his head off. So I think Courtney Love gets a pass for not having her shit together, and then going on like a world tour because like her giant band put an album out like at the same time.
But she was like notoriously a train wreck even before that. I guess she does get a pass considering, but
she gets a pass at this point in time. Like in 1995 is not the time to like call Courtney Love crazy.
But 1995 people did not know that. Like this can't get any worse. This is, and then Courtney Love does.
Yeah, it's a rough.
She didn't dangle her baby from a balcony or anything. So,
well, like Michael Jackson.
Exactly. What I'm saying is
Jackson. Note to self: don't name my kid Blanket.
Or Apple. I know Gwyneth Paltrow named her kid Apple, and like, those are the two standouts of like celebrity baby names. Where I'm like, celebrity baby names. If I had more inclination to do so, it would be a good hobby. Just like collecting.
I just I can't wait.
Frank Zappa's kids,
Dweezil and Moon Unit. Those are the Moon tightest Unit. Names.
Those
ever.
Are the. Those are pretty good names.
I just want to meet in real life, in like 15 years, an adult named Jaxler.
Or
I don't know if anyone has ever named their kid that.
Oh, it's one of those like Braxton names, one of those like, you know, Midwestern. Bennifer. Yeah. No, that's the combination of Ben and Jennifer for their,
or like Brangelina.
Yeah.
Why is it only Brad Pitt that gets combined? No, wait, Bennifer was Jennifer Gardner.
Yeah.
Although yeah,
I think it was
Jennifers.
More for Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, and he's back with Jennifer Lopez now, if I believe the rumors.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are all these think pieces around that time? Maybe not all of these, but I think there was at least more than one that was like, just because Ben and Jen got back together doesn't mean you should get back together with your ex.
I remember that. That was so weird. Like this summer, I saw these like internet articles that were like, you know what? Just because these celebrities have gotten back together.
Relax.
Don't get back with your toxic ex. It's like
your toxic ex is not Ben Affleck. Yeah, has your ex played Batman? No, maybe don't get back together.
Is your ex de-aging somehow?
Anyway, Nick's selling the house. Yeah, and I wrote here, what a novel premise for a series finale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
quite a creative plot twist. Oh, we're ending the show. Let's have them sell the house. What is this, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
It's also known, they jacked the ending of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air directly from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That made sense. I said the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already known that Carol is pregnant, and that sub story. So last week
on Blossom,
the big reveal was that right at the end, Carol's like, "I'm pregnant." And then I thought this bombshell was going to be Nick being that, like, "Hey, yeah. Blossom, you have a little sister on the way."
I even started writing.
I wrote Nick that.
And then I deleted it. I did have it written.
I left it in there for this very moment. So
he told his family about the pregnancy, like, between episodes, because they know about it already. And he's like, "I'm selling the house." And like, so of course, Blossom doesn't like that because she's selfish. She's just like, "But I don't want to move." Like, Blossom doesn't pay the mortgage. This whole episode, I'm like, Blossom can go fuck herself. Like, it's not her house.
Also, Carol's completely in the right for wanting to leave that house.
Yeah.
Because another whole family was raised in it. And she has her own 8-year-old and a baby on the way. And Carol is probably 10 years younger than Nick too, so she doesn't want that connection to that house. She wants to have a fresh start.
And Blossom's going to school, Tony's moved to Rhode Island, Joey's probably gonna do something. Oh, he's getting married to what's her name, Wet Hot. Melanie.
Yeah. Can't remember who. It's the girl from Wet Hot American Summer, whose name escapes me at this time, but she's in like every David Wayne movie.
I feel like I was appreciating the house more in this episode, like noticing the house, like that wallpaper in the living room is pretty great.
And there were the tiles on the back of the kitchen island.
That's what I really appreciated. Yeah.
Yeah. What we didn't get was any POV shots from the point of view of the pantry.
No, that was my favorite shot in the whole show. I'm going to talk about that at length next week. Our postmortem.
And we didn't get any Ted Wass comedy, any physical comedy.
No, but we got instead serious acting from performances from Ted Wass himself, a couple from Blossom, and a notable one from Six, which we'll get to.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess that was the climax of the episode.
Absolutely it was.
But moving on.
I guess the other thing I would say about that scene just before we go on is that I was surprised that Nick thought Blossom would be excited about the move. Like, I guess the opinion this is happening regardless, we're gonna do this is one thing, but like, I thought you would be excited to leave the only home you've ever known. Like, that's a confusing idea also.
And she refers to it as an amputation. I'm like, that's a little extreme. Going to college, all you need is a couch or a bed to sleep on. She's like, I don't want to be like the kid of Kaylin. I don't live in the guest house of my own home.
Yeah. I wrote down all the 90s jokes. There's the Courtney Love joke. There's the Cato Kaelin joke. There's the Pamela Anderson joke. There's the Cindy Crawford joke. Most of that happened in the same scene, except for the Courtney Love one.
Yeah. I wrote one of them down later. We'll get to it though. So we're back in the living room now. Blossom's just waiting at the door. Joey busts in.
Yeah. Blossom hijacks him. Like hijacks his day. She's just like, "You know, I don't know what you were about to do, but you're dealing with me now."
Yeah. I have a problem, and you know, you're gonna listen. But Joey's cool. Joey's like, "That's cool, I understand." And this is where I got my theory about how Carol obviously wants to move to a new home, because Joey says exactly that. He's basically just like, "I get it. Like, we were all raised here."
Yeah.
It's like, this place is haunted.
Yeah.
The ghost of Madeline.
Maddie Russo. Oh, Buzz. I just realized Buzz didn't make any more appearances. He never showed up even for the finale, which is fine. If I could have
one last
Buzz kill.
Ouch. Oh, Buzz.
Yeah. Buzz.
Who's the writer that in the earlier episodes? Never mind.
Zane
Busby.
Oh, Zane Busby. Busby.
Yeah, not the grandfather. I was thinking of Zane Busby.
No, we didn't love Zane Busby so much that we just shortened her name down to Buzz, but maybe Buzz was named after
Zane Busby. Maybe she wrote the character and she named him Buzz after herself, and then then there was some kind of falling out. Like, she didn't die, right? Bill Bixby died, who was directing episodes until like halfway through season 4.
Oh wow.
And then he died, and then they scrambled to have Ted Wass, I guess, direct most of the episodes after that.
He had done a few episodes before that, but Bill Bixby was like the pretty much the main director, except for when they would have like random guest directors come on.
R.I.P. Incredible Hulk.
And I assume the character Buzz died. So RIP, probably from one of the Buzz.
He probably died from me shoving like a rusty iron rod straight through his urethra.
Yeah, the time I had him fall from a plane eye first onto the CN Tower.
That was a good one. I think I like made him like chew a bunch of glass one time or something, and then punched him in the stomach a bunch until the glass like ruptured all the entire inside of his organs.
Yeah, I did the beer death from what's that broken lizard, the weed movie, I think, or beer
super beer fest.
No, the beer fest where the guy has to like drink his way out of the vat and he dies because you can't drink your way out of a vat of beer.
You cannot do that. No,
but I did that to Buzz.
Yeah, wow. I did that to Buzz, but with heroin. He just had to drink heroin. That would be really awesome for like a minute.
For like and a then second.
It would be really terrible. Where were we?
What I found in this episode, I really like that Joey was a great big brother. He was really supportive to Blossom and was this really like calm figure. Like, that's nice. And then just Blossom was insulting him and insulting him and insulting him. Like, yeah. Someone. He's like, that's okay. And he was so cheerful. Like,
that's kind of how Joey's been in season 5.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they wrote him to be the most lovable, biggest idiot. And Blossom has
still just stopped. Dick to him.
She used to just make that, you know how she makes that face at one point?
Mm-hmm.
She used to just do that, but now for the last while, she's been straight up like, you're a moron. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, moron? That's pretty harsh.
That's pretty harsh. That's not even funny. Like, that's not a joke. No. She's just calling her brother a moron in the series finale.
Mm-hmm. I feel bad for Joey instead. Maybe that was part of it.
I forget what I was going to say.
Right. Yeah, so. He's very, comforting for her.
Yeah, that was a big change for Joey. Oh, well, there was a point, it was like near the beginning of season 5 or maybe the end of season 4 where like, I mean, Joey always plays the idiot, but there was one episode where Blossom's like, have you just been pretending to be an idiot this whole time? And Joey was like, I don't know, you tell me. And then like, since then, I'm like, is Joey just pretending to be an idiot this whole time? And since then, he's also been like this like kinder, gentler, like caring brother character. And Blossom's just still linked to him.
That you bring that up, because in this scene, she's like, will you stop? Or it's later anyway. She's like, will you stop? And he's like, I'm just trying to cheer you up. So that's more evidence towards him acting like an idiot to be the comic relief for his family. But from our point of view, we just think he's the world's dumbest man.
Yeah. Well, except that we saw that episode where he lets us think that maybe it's all a ruse.
Yeah, he stopped a crime.
There's no whoa in this episode.
There I'm was no
point that out right now, except there was
the silent
flashback. Whoa. That was great. I like that. We'll get to the end at the end though. Where are we now? Oh, Blossom has a plan. We're not there yet.
That's where we're at.
She's in her room now with Six and Joey, and she's like, if I have a plan, you guys will help me out with this, right? And they're like, yeah, what's the plan? And she's like, okay, like, so the realtor is bringing people to look at the house at 1 o'clock tomorrow. And she's like, okay, our plan is we're going to leave the house at 12, like we're supposed to, but then we're going to sneak back in at 12:30. And then Joey's like, but we're going to be gone by 1, right? And that's when
she looks real close at him.
We got a good deadpan, like look for like 10 seconds at a Blossom.
Well, her original plan is to have fresh baked bread in the oven, so the place smells real nice and homemade.
That's not her plan. That's what the realtor is telling her.
Oh, and then that's why she's like, disgusting.
Yeah.
Because the realtor is like, oh yeah, be out by 12, and if you could leave some bread baking in the oven to make it smell welcoming, that would be nice. A, no, don't leave anything baking in your oven and leave the house. I don't know about 1995, but they have candles that smell like baking cookies now. So also, don't leave candles burning and leave the house. So I don't know. I think that's the realtor's
diffuser,
job.
A nice oil diffuser.
Yeah, some incense.
Yeah.
Note to self. Note to me and Pam, me and my wife, when we sell this house, don't bake bread and leave the house while it's baking.
They may steal the bread.
Oh, that's valuable bread.
High quality bread.
Anyway, but this is all we get of Blossom's plan, is like that they're going to sneak back in and then we're going to watch the plan unfold.
It's the most harebrained, ridiculous.
It is insane. Nonsense. Because so we cut to the next day when the realtor comes over and Blossom comes down the stairs dressed as a ghost, I guess.
Like a ghost doll hybrid, but also kind of like the girl from The Ring is kind of the vibe I got.
Yeah, like that didn't exist at that point. Maybe The Ring took their inspiration from the series finale.
Probably.
They were just like, we're going to have the little girl dressed like that.
What I appreciated was that she matched the doll that she was carrying, like even had the same hair and had the same eyeshadow. Like that was, I thought that was really cute. Like she matched.
This is not her first time in this outfit.
No. And that hair was like defying gravity, so that took some effort.
Yeah, or she had a wig. Yeah. I bet it was a Halloween costume and she had a wig.
I don't think that was a wig though. You could see like her hair was pulled back.
You think they did her hair like that?
Absolutely I did. And yeah, probably had to do several takes of that moment.
It probably hurt. If that was her real hair, that was probably not comfortable at all.
That was pretty funny. That was some good
But yeah, she comes downstairs, she kisses the realtor, she's acting all crazy. She's like, oh, this house will never truly be empty. And then Joey is moaning in the closet. Blossom goes and bangs on the closet door. She's like, oh, that's just my brother. She bangs on the door and she's like, hey, we have guests. And then Six comes in dressed as a woman of the night. And starts flirting with the prospective buyer in front of his wife, who slaps him. Well, doesn't slap him. She kind of smacks him in the chest for paying attention to...
She's dressed like... Who's that character from Streets of Rage that's the... I don't know. Trans, you know?
I don't know. I don't... Streets of Rage isn't on my list of games.
Anyway, if you're a listener, comment down below if you know who I'm talking about.
Did you just say listeners? Yep.
I think we're down to about six.
We're at about six on a weekly basis, but if you go back and look at episodes from like a month ago, then they have like 10 or 11.
Whoa.
Yeah. So some people are
I'm leaving up. You.
I always said if I made it big.
I'm taking this to the moon. To the moon.
Oh, too bad we don't have any more episodes.
Damn it.
When we finished watching the episode, the Disney Plus like watch next that came up was Boy Meets World. What about you?
That happened with us as well.
Nice. Okay, so like, Boy Meets World is what we're supposed to watch next, because I bet it came out like exactly next. Like it was I bet it took over the time slot or something.
Well,
Jason had an idea. Oh, what is his name? Mingus?
Yeah.
Minkus episodes.
Oh, so then we only have to do like the first couple seasons because
he doesn't come back in like university.
He comes back like on the very occasional episode. But like he does like the first two, maybe three seasons, and then you see like one guest appearance in the last episode, and he's
Corey's foil for Topanga in school scenes. Basically is his whole shit. I can't remember I can't believe how much I remember about Boy Meets World.
I mean, I watched the whole show again. It's probably been like 5 years, but it was before I was with my wife, so it's been over 4 years. But I did, it's been relatively recently considering.
Did you watch it start to finish?
Yep.
Oh man, maybe I should do that.
It's good. It's a better show than Blossom. I will say that right now. Start to finish, it's better than Blossom. Maybe like Blossom season one was kind of on par, but like Blossom takes a nosedive where Boy Meets World does not. It stays pretty solid.
And it's like, I remember being kind of edgy too, kind of edgy.
It like is. Blossom. It has, you know how we started watching this and we were like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of very special episodes about like sexual abuse and drugs and violence and stuff. And no, Boy Meets World has that. There's a bunch of episodes about Sean's dad abandoning him and being a shitty drunk dad, and he lives in a trailer park. Like there's a whole bunch of serious episodes about like Sean, you know, not feeling like a good enough person and stuff.
Yeah, like Sean gets arrested.
Yeah.
At one point. And doesn't what's his face, his dad bail him out or something? Not his own.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's gets dad, like, I definitely talks to Sean's dad, and they have like a he almost knocks him out moment.
I think so. There's definitely a couple episodes of Boy Meets World that like kind of made me tear up because I'm just like, oh shit, like Ben Savage's family, Corey's family is like a better family to Sean than Sean's own family. Gets you right in the heartstrings. Gets you right in there.
I always like those storylines on these shows. And Six kind of had that arc. See, I brought it back around.
A little bit. Six I'm going to take it off on a tangent, though. Remember the episode of Roseanne when, like, Jackie's boyfriend was beating her up and then Dan went and beat the shit out of him? Oh, that was a good one. I felt good to just see that guy. Well, you didn't see it, just heard about it. But
that show holds up. That was a primetime sitcom, so they could get away with a bit more, but that had lots of very special episodes.
Yeah, Roseanne was a fantastic show. The but then reboot
it also had a whole season was that was a fantasy that
yeah, the last season was not good.
Once his face was dead, Dan was mm-hmm. dead.
Yeah, a couple years ago, I did a rewatch of Roseanne, and just like every time I try to watch that show, like I get to the last season, I'm like, nope. I wanted to, but it's too short.
But the gas leak season.
The gas leak.
Yeah. So Joey is dressed like, it turns out he's dressed.
Oh, he
like
comes out of the closet, yeah,
man or something.
Not that way. He literally comes out of a closet,
beating yeah. a bag, which I guess has rats in it. He had like fur right here. It only showed him for like a second, but he had like
covered in like a coat or something.
And I thought he had like a black nose. Like, is he a dog?
I think he was a dog man. I wrote down that he was a ghoul.
I wrote down he was dressed as the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Hideous. That's the point of that book, right? Is that hunchbacks are gross.
Yeah. Should be called Hunchbacks Are Yucky.
Yeah. And then the realtor's all like, oh, maybe let's come back at a more convenient time. So like Blossom thinks her plan has worked. We cut to a scene where Blossom is, I think, wearing like underwear on her head. I don't know.
What is that?
Yeah.
Hat watch. She's wearing like a beanie made of underwear.
Yeah. It's got like some kind of a scene on it almost. Like, I don't know. With like a red.
Yeah, brim. There's a red band is the brim, which made me think of underwear. It's just like a thick elastic band around her head with like cotton, white cotton with some kind of pattern.
I think it was like a beanie. Called a cap. Just a cap.
A cap. Yeah. But like it was like underwear. It looked like briefs.
Yeah, a cap made of underwear.
Thin. Yeah.
The reason why this stuck out to me is because I follow Maddie Matheson. He's a cook on the internet, basically. And he has a Bazooka Joe one of these that he always caps.
Beanie.
It's the same kind of, it's not quite a beanie. It's not quite a toque. It's thin. Looks mm-hmm. like you guys said, looks like you have underwear on your head.
Yeah.
It's a whole look and a half, I would say. That's one of two hats in this episode. The hat watch is back, baby. The other hat was Six's leather daddy hat in her prostitute outfit.
Yeah, that's true, but that was a costume.
Yeah, but it's still a hat.
That's true. It's still a hat. All right, sorry. Our sick boy is tossing in his bed. And I think he's fallen back asleep.
Yeah.
We might be a little quieter on this end to stop from waking him up. He's tossing and turning. And
he's having Robitussin nightmares.
The only cough or cold medicine we can give him is like herbal shit until he's two. It does nothing, but he likes the taste.
Yeah, and it sucks because he's too young to figure out how to blow his nose, so you just hear like just wheezing, like you can't do anything about it. It's tough.
All right, let's get through this because Pam and I might have to go take care of our son.
Yeah. Well, I hear a baby crying.
Yeah, there's a baby crying.
Should we mute it, baby? So like for the rest of it, and then we can still watch, like see.
There. Okay. Yeah. Now we won't hear the baby crying.
Aww. You can take a break. Yeah.
We can just do one.
Who knows how long that's gonna take?
Yeah. Sometimes, like when he gets this way, he just like poor little guy.
What will happen is Pam will go take care of him if he doesn't calm down, and we'll just keep recording.
Yeah.
I mean, we're almost there. Like, there's not much left in the episode. Basically, we have a cut to Blossom. Nick comes in and tells her that the family made an offer despite their best efforts to ward them off.
Must have been the wallpaper.
It was probably the wallpaper and the tile and the smell of freshly baked bread.
No,
the video camera in the pantry.
Yeah. Then we get a cut to Blossom video diary again. She like compares this whole situation to the Bay of Pigs, which I think is also a little bit extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, I walked out of the room for this. What was the conversation with Carol?
Oh,
I just wrote down Carol and Blossom hash it out. That's all I wrote.
Yeah.
Oh, I think my notes after that. Never mind.
Okay. Yeah, that's that. I think it's just Carol being like, look, I need to get out of this house.
Yeah. She's like, this was the dream house of like your dad and your mom. Like that's, we need to have our own dream house.
Right.
And Blossom's like I said, like, I don't blame you. And Carol's like, I don't believe you. And that's the last we see of Carol.
It's true. She's that's
exit. That's her last scene. It's exit her Carol. Telling Blossom. There's no resolution. Carol's just like, I don't believe you, which is fair because Blossom's a friggin' little dick the whole time. Like Carol's never known Blossom to not be a little dick.
I have a note here that just says Blossom sucks. So I don't know.
No, I'm sure if I saved it, most of my notes, I'd have that written down a lot of times because she does. Six is a great friend and Blossom is the opposite of that.
So do you think like they purposely made Blossom out to be not likable, or is she supposed to be like
it's the main character, it's the main character itis, as I like to call it inside my head to myself, and then nobody's ever heard me say before, but this happens a lot.
Now 10 people will have heard you say
exactly it happens a lot in things where in an episode of a show you see the main character, you recognize they're the main character and their actions are moving the plot along, but when you go back and watch the show as a whole and really take note of everything they've done in the show, a lot of their actions are nonsense garbage because they had to move the plot along and have a conflict.
Yeah.
Zach Morris is a great example of that, where he was an absolute piece of shit. But if you're a teenager or a kid watching him do
his identify antics, with this stuff.
Yeah. You're like, sweet. He's, you know, bucking the system at every turn.
He's doing the things that I only think about.
Yeah. And maybe that is part of it too, is that like maybe this is a realistic reaction for a kid, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know,
but when you do a podcast about it and analyze every episode, you realize she's the worst person on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, we are
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and we're also not like teenagers, so we're like, I think everyone is a terrible person when you're a teenager, and then you just grow out of it, like, oh, I can't believe not it.
Six is fucking awesome. Six is a good friend.
Yeah,
Six was. She had her issues. She had a season where she went to rehab, but you know, at least she realized her issues and got better. Blossom is consistently a liar, a manipulator. She's deceitful.
She makes shitty student films.
She gaslights her parents.
Yeah.
She gaslights her brothers. Yeah.
Gaslights her best friend.
Yep.
Nick calls her out on it, though, in the next scene.
Go ahead. What happens?
Nick comes in and he says, you're being selfish and unfair.
Mm-hmm. And then makes a bunch of reasonable arguments.
Yep.
And Six is like, or Blossom's like, fine, but I'm still sad.
Which is fine. Stop acting out. We did have to get one more sitcom style shenanigan though with that sabotage attempt.
It was pretty funny.
It was the most sitcom-y thing I've seen in many episodes on this show. And you know.
It was pretty good. It was well done. But Nick found a house. Everything's moving very fast. It feels like this episode takes place in like a couple days, but like because there's no real continuity, like all the scenes are disjointed, like who knows, it could be like a month, it could be 2 months that this whole thing takes place over.
Am I just making up in my mind that it's a sitcom trope that people don't know what escrow is? Like I feel like that happens.
I don't know what escrow is.
I don't know what escrow is either, but I feel like it happens a lot in shows too.
Isn't escrow like when your house is being sold, you have to pay to have it like on the market or something?
I don't think so. Or is it like the period where like you make the offer and then I don't know why we're trying to get, but I feel like maybe it's like in Friends or something. I feel like they also make that.
Hey Google, what's escrow?
According to Wikipedia, an escrow is a contractual arrangement in which a third party disperses money or property for the primary transacting parties. The disbursement dependent on conditions agreed to by the transacting parties.
So still just this.
Oh, still don't know, really.
Don't know.
That someone was the holds final, the money. That was the final Google Home.
Until parents. The conditions are satisfied and then they can have the money.
Yeah.
So it's a conditional offer, pretty much.
It's like a lawyer holding a deposit until like everyone's ready to go. Yeah, like and the mad. Lawyer being like, I'm going to hang on to the money. You don't get the money yet, but you have to pay the money. So that everyone can just be cool until we can hand the house off. It's like, I'm just going to hold this and let go.
Oh, the old Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, Escrow is best compared to the exact moment that Indiana Jones in Raiders of the Lost Ark is trying to replace a statue with a bag of sand.
Yeah, and then almost gets run over by a giant ball. And then I think Alfred Molina's there.
Yes, he is. He is in a pretty minor part, but like he's pretty awesome in it.
He's just a goon. He's the goon that gets like impaled, isn't he?
He gets impaled. Yeah, he doesn't throw the whip back to Indy on the way out, and then Indy finds him impaled soon afterwards. Awesome. And gets the idol back.
This is we're back in the living room. This is where we get Joey and Blossom having their heart to heart, and this is where we find out that Joey might not be an idiot ultimately, because he's like, I'm just trying to cheer you up, and she's like, don't do that. And then they reminisce about watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer,
the cartoon.
That's when we get a prolonged look, and then she calls him straight up moron. But she recalls being kids and being able to see their feet on that very same couch.
And Joey goes, oh, we must have been sitting further back.
Then that's telling, because then Blossom gives him a look that's like, oh, come on, not like you're an idiot look. It's more like good one. I get you're telling a joke.
That's his arc. That's the end of his arc. We find out that Joey is he plays the idiot for laughs.
Yeah. Almost the end of his arc was that, like, last week, because Madison and Pam didn't have the benefit of watching last week, Joey just, like, got back together with a girlfriend, and they got engaged to be married in, like, 2 days.
When you know, you know.
When you know, you know.
Hey, we got engaged after 6 months.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's
true. We were, ten months?
Eight or nine months or something. Yeah.
Married shortly thereafter.
This poor baby is just staring at the camera.
I think he's listening to the podcast. He's not crying. He's just staring.
He's making a bit of noise. You can see the meter going up there.
Oh, Desmond.
Slide. Hold on. I'm going to see if I can get him to lie down. Shh, lie back down, Desmond. It's time to go to sleep, okay? Lie back down. It's not working.
This is the baby wearing part of the podcast.
Oh no, you made it cry even harder. Oh no, he's upset.
Sometimes that works though. Sometimes he's just like, okay, and like flops down and goes to sleep. Yeah. It's hard to tell. Like it's like Russian roulette going over the intercom to tell him that everything's okay and he should lie down.
Like we debate what we should do.
Yeah, we'll be in like bed Russian and he's up roulette. Doing it. pretty much.
Okay, well, we have 4 scenes left. So the next scene I wanted to talk about a little bit, because it's Six's best acting probably ever.
Probably in the show. I know she's had another couple of good moments. I think she did a great job in the episode where she and Joey were in the hotel.
Right.
A few episodes ago. She was good in that episode. But yeah, go on about this one.
So basically, Six has the moment where she realizes that this might be the last time she sleeps over. I mean, they're 18, so sleepovers shouldn't be.
But that's how good their friendship is.
Right. Okay.
You get to that realization, before that, like, she immediately gets meta before she comes to the realization. Because Six does this, she'll get like meta about it being a TV show, and she's like, oh, don't worry, like, it won't happen. And Blossom's like, what? She's like, the house won't get sold, like, everything's gonna seem like it's going fine, and then something will happen and everything will go back to normal, just like on TV.
Right. The whole rest of this episode kind of has that vibe too. But she gets up, has a bit of a panic attack, which was a little bit overdone, because she was like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, for like a solid 45 seconds, which was a lot. But that transitions into her really giving her like final thoughts about the whole thing, and we actually almost get real tears.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Which is hard, just you don't see that a lot on sitcoms, especially in the 90s where it's all
You know where you did see it, and a lot more and a lot better, was Fresh Prince of Bel-Air,
the podcast we should have done.
The podcast we should have
done. That's our next podcast. It's called The Podcast We Should Have Done.
I was going to say, going back to like how Disney Plus recommended Boy Meets World to both of us, I was going to say, like, that's clearly just what we have to do next. Like, that's what we're watching next. Disney Plus decided that we're doing Boy Meets World after this.
Blossom Buddies Meets World.
Blossom Buddies. Yep. I was like, I can do better than that. Nope. But to say the exact same thing.
We just keep Boy tagging meets, on the Boy Meets Blossom shows. Buddies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then Six and Blossom hash it out and hug it out is what I wrote down.
Hug it out, bitch.
We got a good kind of sweet scene between them. And then we get Nick and Blossom's last heartfelt moment at the kitchen table. I noticed they're still hinting at spinoffs. Like through the beginning, when Nick's trying to like sell the idea to Blossom, he's like, think of it as like new beginnings. Like we're all starting something new now.
This scene was and then drenched here, in that too.
Yeah. I wrote it down. I didn't have any specific examples for the scene, but yeah, they keep hinting at spinoffs.
He's like, I really enjoyed being your dad. And I'm like, that's a weird thing to say. She's like, I really enjoyed being your daughter. And I'm like, that's an even weirder way to
I mean, that's not something that like a father and daughter would say to each other in real life, but it's again like meta. It's the actors saying that to each other.
If I walked into the room and said, right, but you enjoyed being your husband.
You're like, what do you mean?
You're dying?
Right. Because you guys don't have a meta, you guys aren't characters on a TV show. You're not actors playing characters.
I didn't get that, Craig. I'm not that smart, but that feels very real. Well,
that's exactly what was happening there. Like it was like the scene, it was nice because it was kind of like the actors talking to each other.
Yeah.
I did write down so many sappy exchanges.
Yes.
It was one after another. Like I feel like if they had clawed back maybe two.
Yeah. No, it was a bit over the top.
Yeah. And it didn't seem very sincere. I don't know if it's because they're not very good actors, but I didn't feel like a lot of emotion. They're like saying these really deep, like sappy things, but I didn't feel like any heartstrings being pulled. It just like, get on with it. Like
they wanted them off that set. So they had to do all this in one shot. Yeah.
They're like, we're filming this new show called Boy Meets World, starting in 6 hours. We need to clean up.
You're sitting in Feeney's living room right now.
Having seen it, like, I guess is that like their relationship all throughout though? Like, I don't know. Do you feel like they were a good match as like father and daughter or like?
I do.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they look related. I feel like the cast, the family, they all looked related, which is important sometimes because you watch a sitcom or a show and they're supposed to be related and they just look nothing alike. That happens so much more than it doesn't. So I thought that was a really nice touch and it worked out, except for the whole, they changed them from being like a New York Italian family over the years, even though their last name's Russo. But that does come back around. It seemed like in this last season, they were a bunch of things. They were like, this family is like this. That was one of them. And also Blossom with her video diary in this last episode and her saying, I've been loosely doing this, this diary the whole time when we know this diary
did it for half the first season.
And that's literally it.
I was thinking like, what if like the episodes themselves are like a video diary? Like it's just her recapping it. So it's like, oh, we've been watching her video diary this entire time.
Yeah, I think we have. Yeah, they just removed the framing device after like 6 episodes and then brought it back.
So we were.
Oh, that makes sense.
We were supposed to be watching this through the eyes of her telling these stories.
So this was her depicting herself and she still came off as such an asshole. Like, man. So that means she's even worse. Maybe she is Holden Caulfield.
She's a sociopath like Holden Caulfield, that's for sure. So we get one last video diary moment. That's pretty good. I did want to point out that in this, she references, any biblical thing could was the only thing that could keep the house from being sold, like floods and strip malls closing. Mm-hmm. And the irony here, of course, is strip malls haven't really been a thing, except for in Brampton, Ontario, for the last probably 20 years.
Newmarket's got strip malls.
That's true. Scarborough has them.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're fine. They're fine.
They just barely exist in Toronto anymore. That's the only place that they've really disappeared.
Downtown Toronto.
Toronto specifically.
Yeah.
But she basically leaves us with some words of wisdom. Always leave them laughing. It's pretty good advice. Mm-hmm. One should never be where one does not belong, Bob Dylan lyric. And then she telegraphs this next one for so long that I thought it was going to be heartfelt, but really it's just
try jiggling the handle. She was like, and last but not least, some practical advice and blah, blah, goes on and on and on until I forget what she's even doing.
And that's like the second last thing she says. And then she's like,
the last thing, the show, the entire show ends on her looking in the camera and saying, I'll see ya.
Yeah. And we never saw her again until
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory.
And like 14 Jeopardy, years later.
And a show where she's a crazy cat lady, I guess, that I haven't
seen. Which yet. I was reading. So she's handing off the Jeopardy hosting reins to Ken Jennings. I was reading this article about it. And then just like, you know, it'll recap like a star's achievements or current projects or whatever at the bottom of the article. It's like, and she's currently preparing for the release of the second season of her hit Fox sitcom, Call Me Cat. I'm like, hit?
No.
I don't know a single person who's seen that show.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen it. I watched two episodes.
Oh, you've watched two?
Yeah, I watched two.
Oh.
Was it bad?
It was bad. Yeah, it was terrible. It's an awful show.
Does she play like a precocious smart person kind of character?
No, she plays more like a quirky independent person.
It feels like a spoof of what a sitcom is like. Like a lot of really over the top acting and just
it's just like, so bad. Like
yeah,
it's like someone's first time making a sitcom. No, it's not like How I Met Your Mother, where they're like you're in on the joke, like they're winking at you while they do it. Mm-hmm.
We should do that show next.
How I Met Your Mother. Yeah, Can we do the first half of that show and then stop? Because like the last two or three seasons were not great.
When they got it.
We're getting on the ground floor on this
hit sitcom. We just get the credit sequence, which is a bunch of clips.
It's a bunch of flashback clips, but like 90% of them were to the Behind the Music episode.
Yeah, because that's probably one of the better episodes ever.
That's true.
And we get one down the barrel, Joey, whoa, with it just kept saying inaudible at the bottom of the screen when people were talking.
Oh, because we had the subtitles on?
Yeah, so we get the silent whoa, and that's the final whoa of the series. And that's it. That's fucking Blossom is done.
Blossom.
And my waking nightmare is complete.
No, because we have another episode. We have to talk about the whole series as a whole.
That'll be fun because we don't have to watch Blossom for next week's
episode. That's the thing. We finished watching the episode and Pam was like, so how do you feel like now that you're done watching Blossom? I'm like, I enjoy watching Blossom. I don't like taking notes and talking about Blossom every week. Like, cause I remember like before we started doing the podcast, I remembered like, I think I had downloaded it anyway. And I watched a few episodes just cause I was like, this is enjoyable.
Of course, that was
season one. So
we had that weird download file on your Plex though. That was just like every four or five episodes. Like it wasn't all of it.
Yeah. I got a torrent that was very incomplete.
Yeah.
I wasn't watching it like in order really, but I was enjoying it. I was just like, yeah, there's nothing better to watch. Like I'll throw on Blossom. Like it's turning it into a job and talking about it that I hated.
Yeah, me too.
But the quality of the episodes also went down. So that might've played a bit like, cause I remember watching the first ones. They were enjoyable. Like I laugh. I actually remember being like, oh, that's a really good joke. And then now this one.
Yeah. They had celebrity cameos in like almost every episode for season one. Like the first episode had Claire Huxtable, Felicia Rashad as Blossom's like fantasy mom, and Alf was in like the fourth episode, and Little Richard was my favorite cameo because I don't even remember what was happening in the scene, but he just turns to Blossom or Tony and just goes, shut up. It was great. Comic gold.
Yeah, that was his catchphrase in the 90s. He would show up on sitcoms and tell them to shut up, and everybody lost their minds.
It was very funny.
Also, Phyllis Diller was fantastic in her few walk-on roles.
Yeah, I feel like maybe something we do on our last episode is we recap our favorite guest stars. That's probably not something we should do now. We should save it.
Yeah.
My opinionation of this episode and not of the show as a whole is a terrible finale. Like, yeah, it was not an original storyline. Oh, they're selling the house. They're selling Cheers or Frasier's moving back to Boston or Fresh Prince is selling the mansion.
They zoom out and it was all inside of a snow globe of an autistic child.
Yeah, that finale, there's this whole Cracked article about that premise.
Is that Bob Newhart?
St. Elsewhere? St. Elsewhere.
St. Elsewhere.
Bob Newhart's a whole other thing, because that show was all a dream,
right,
of his character from the
oh yeah, and he just wakes sitcom. Up, right?
He
yeah.
wakes up in the previous sitcom that he was in, because the new sitcom was all a dream. So it's like, yeah, so that was genius. But yeah, I think it was St. Elsewhere, which is a hospital, and it all took place in this snow globe.
The hospital in South Park is a parody of St. Elsewhere, I'm pretty sure.
Probably. But because there's some weird thing in that show and it being in a snow globe, it ties so many shows together. Like, yeah, every show basically exists in the snow globe because of some like guest star that showed up that was tied to a bunch of other guest stars or something. And it's like basically like no TV show from the 90s and 80s exists. They're all fancies of this like boy somehow. I'll find the article and I'll post it in the show notes. Just kidding. I'm not doing that work.
You don't have show notes. Comment below if you want show notes.
We do have show notes. No, I put a description on every episode. It's usually just like half a sentence. Sometimes
this week,
I write a
few notes. Blossom is a jerk up.
Pretty much.
So Madison, what was your
Madison, you go.
Oh, I wasn't ready. I'm... of that episode
of, or that of the
okay
particular
of that,
episode
of that episode I got some laughs out of that scene where Blossom was a ghost. Certainly there are some, you know, teenage emotions that are probably were relatable. Like, I remember watching the show at the time, but yeah, I think it was,
I feel like, sick. Speaking of teenage emotions, I feel like Jenna Von Oy was just trying to get another show. She's like, okay, I gotta, this is my last time on camera, on screen. I gotta pull out all the stops.
Up my demo reel.
Mm-hmm.
And did she didn't.
Not really. She, we've talked about it before. She did like a guest spot on Seventh Heaven. And maybe one or two other things. And then she had like a movie like 5 years ago or something.
She plays a pregnant girl on Seventh Heaven. And because the kids are God fearing, they stop to help her. One of the kids stops to help her, and then she like steals their car.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Oh. Something like that.
Because Seventh Heaven, with every episode had like a lesson. It's like, you know, love thy neighbor, even if
you know, even though
carjack you in the fucking suburbs.
No, even though you're a minister doesn't mean you're not a kid toucher.
Exactly.
Even if you just play a minister on TV, might still be a kid toucher.
About that.
Yeah, I like a year or two ago, I was like, maybe I'll binge Seventh Heaven. It's like 11 seasons, and I just wasn't ready to take up that much hard drive space because it's not on any streaming service. And that guy's a kid toucher.
That guy's a pedophile.
Yeah.
I might go back and try Smallville. I was reading an article the other day about how that was like the original superhero show before its time, got away with a lot because nobody cared.
Yeah, I never, I watched episodes of it and I remember it being fine.
But like also like 11 seasons, I think, or some crazy.
Yeah, number. Very long.
If you're going to do that, watch Gotham. I thought Gotham was an infinitely better show.
Gotham's very good. I'm like in season 3, I think. I haven't watched in a while. And it's not 11 seasons. That's only 5 or 6.
It gets wackier and wackier and more Batman-y. Like, there's no Batman in it, but it gets more Batman-y by the end. Especially the last season, that's just like the whole rogues gallery is out there fucking it up.
Pam, what was your opinionation of this episode?
My opinionation is that after seeing this episode, I don't feel sad that I hadn't been watching the last few seasons with you anymore.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed. Like the acting, like just, oh, but I never watched it as a teenager, so I don't have any nostalgic ties to it. So I think that's why I don't appreciate as much as other people. Like, I know if I had watched something that I enjoyed as a kid, I would be seeing it very differently. So it was interesting watching it as an adult.
I mean, Jason and I enjoyed it as a kid and we still hate it now.
Exactly.
I don't think I wouldn't have been a teenager when I watched. I would have been like a
no, neither would Pam. Pam would have been 12, I think, at the time the show ended.
Yeah.
So anyway, in my opinionation, to finish us off here, I hated this episode. It had no tangible plot. Most of the acting was over the top. I really enjoyed Jenna Von Oy's performance, except for when she was saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I really feel like Tony should have at least video called in. I know video calls didn't exist yet, but he should have at least made a phone call, you know, or something.
They wouldn't have even had to get the actor for that. They could have just been like, oh, it's Tony.
We didn't get a shot. We didn't get like a scene. Like with Tony's goodbye, we got everybody in the living room that's ever been on the show.
Yeah.
Hug him goodbye.
Tony's goodbye was a better finale than the finale was.
Exactly. And we didn't get that. They must have filmed this like all over the place because we didn't get that one shot with everybody in the living room, which most shows of this era would do for a finale.
Yeah, we didn't get someone taking one last look, turning off the lights.
But the thing is I think that this show was setting up, they wanted multiple spinoffs and just all of the pitches were shot down and they were like, nah, NBC's like, I'm done. I'm good.
Yeah, NBC's like, have you seen this show?
Yeah, you made the show bad and you want a spinoff where it's Tony and fucking Rhode Island.
Remember Cheers? Remember how it was good?
Yeah, all the way through to the end.
Maybe you should have tried that.
I sense like when I was watching, I got a feeling of bitterness or like disappointment through it too. Like it really did seem like they were not happy. We're going to finish this, fine. Like we're not getting renewed, fine. Goodbye. And that was it.
Phoning it in.
Yeah.
I said that a couple episodes ago where it seemed like they were just reading the scripts at each other to finish out the show. And it kind of sucks. And I would like to, I hope someday they make a behind the scenes documentary about Blossom.
I would, we will reunite the podcast.
Exactly.
When that happens. Or if they do a spinoff, we have to do that.
Oh, if
or not a spinoff, Blossom like a Buddies reboot.
We'll come back if they reboot Blossom somehow.
Absolutely.
What would be your ideal reboot cast? Like what story, what line are they going to follow that you would be like, yeah, that's.
Oh, Tony and Shelley in Rhode Island, like their kid. They'll have three kids with the youngest being a girl named Blossom because Blossom will be dead. Like Mayim Bialik, like the Blossom character has died. So in her honor, Tony and Shelley named their third born Blossom.
Well, it would have to be like the baby that was born, that's Carol's pregnant with, is like an adult, is like 30 and having a kid, and Blossom is like the grandmother or something that comes over, and
no, no, Blossom has to be dead.
Grand aunt. Blossom dies.
I will accept no other.
Yeah,
Blossom dies, and then the show's about. I swear, like, yeah, Tony's kid, third Nick is kid Buzz. Is named Blossom after the dead, her dead aunt. And it's about her coming to terms with the fact that like, she's named after her dead aunt. Like that's where the drama comes from.
And it's like that new Fresh Prince that's coming out where it's played 100% like a drama.
Oh yeah. What? It's not a comedy. Yeah. There's a Fresh Prince reboot coming out. That's that's Will Smith's like an executive producer or something. And they've got it all cast and it's a full on drama. Cause some dude, like a year ago, just made like, you know how people will just make trailers for shit, like out of like whatever existing footage. Yeah, and I don't remember who the director was, but someone made like a Batman short with like Crispin Glover as the Joker that was fucking amazing. And that, I don't think it was Christopher Nolan who made it, because I don't think that actually went anywhere, but it's just like these short things that are like fucking awesome. And then Will Smith saw that and he was like, fuck it, yeah, let's reboot Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is a drama because that trailer was amazing.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. That's, like I said, Deadpool was a similar thing where they made a screen test for the suit and they ended up turning that scene where he's sitting on the freeway into a whole movie. That was the screen test for the suit.
And I hope they go like all in, and I hope they like, if they're going to do it, I hope they do it well. Like, does it seem like it's going to be good?
I saw the trailer. It looks like it's going to be like, you know, it's probably going to have the same story beats, just serious.
I hope it's like a scene for scene, like remake, but they do it with no laughs
comedy
and no joke. Like no joke. Well, you're like, no, like all of like Will making fun of Carlton is still there, but it's like not played for laughs. It's just him like really
being a full on bully.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah.
But Carlton really is this like horrible conservative like piece of shit. Like he deserves it. Anyway, this has been Blossom Buddies.
Thank you for listening. This has been the series finale of Blossom Buddies. Thank you to our lovely guests, our wives, who are supposed to be on the show many times over the last year or so.
Yeah, having a baby is really hampered
you
that.
Guys having a baby and everything. Me and Craig just tried to start grinding through the episodes to get them done and out. And here we are on the other side.
So thanks for being here.
Thank along you for having ride. Us. This is the end
I'm
of
talking
an
to the
era.
Audience. Shut up. I'm talking to the audience. I'm talking about the people who have been here for every episode. All, yeah.
all six our of them. Real guests to listen in.
Yeah, no, we'll be back for a recap episode next week where Jason and I will have anxiety attacks and cry and hug and try to get a spinoff going.
True. I have a spinoff. It's called Hey, Did You See This One? It's a movie podcast that happens every Monday night live on Instagram. You can hit me up on there. But I would like to personally say thank you to everybody that listened this far. And like Craig said, we have one more episode coming down the pike. Mm. It's been Blossom Buddies.
Bye.
Bye.